So the question we're dealing with really is when does something get the label of a minhag? We have to know that there's a Gemara in Gittin that discusses how we have to write a get. And it says that there are certain things that people might do which disqualify a get. And even if you see the masses doing it, that's wrong. It can disqualify the get. And there's the famous Tosfos quoted in the Rush in Gittin, where Rabbeinu Tam says Minhag has the same letters as Gehenim, perdition. Not everything that people do is automatically given the stamp of Minhag. And Tosfos says, and this is also quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that in order for a minhag to have validity, it must be a minhag that was adopted in a community that was led by bona fide rabbis who controlled what the community did. You can't just say, I'm walking into the community, this is what they're doing. Okay, now it has a status of a minhag. There's another concept we have to know with regard to minhagim. There's more than one type of minhag, which we can't go into right now, but in Shulchan Aruch, there's discernment between different types of minhagim. We have to understand where a minhag is coming from, and that gives it different weight. Some minhagim, a person can change by going to a rabbi and annulling the vow. Certain minhagim have the weight of vows, and others are different. So really, we're opening a Pandora's box. But we just have to understand a little bit about the term we're using here, minhag. Not everything that we do is called a minhag. First of all, it has to have halachic basis. Secondly, it has to have been accepted by a community that had rabbis running the show. Thirdly, just a second, it has to be something which the rabbis would be aware of. Rabbi Feinstein, when he's discussing taking a shower on Yom Tov. So technically, the Talmud prohibits taking a bath on Yom Tov. But what about a shower? So one of the questions he deals with in his response is that you might claim the custom is that no one takes a shower on Yom Tov. And then he says, but maybe that's not a custom. You know, if people don't know it's permitted, so the fact that they're not doing it doesn't give it... The fact that people aren't doing something that they don't know is permitted doesn't give that the weight of a minhag necessarily. He says we'd have to really find out why aren't people taking showers on Yom Tov. We're talking about a cold shower, David.
Oh, okay.
Cold shower, not talking about hot showers. But at any rate, so I'm saying there are details. Here you have a situation where one man decided this is the way we're going to pronounce Hebrew. He decided. It's not a minhag like in Frankfurt that evolved or in the United States that evolved. It's man-made. And man-made by a man who did not accept the basics of Judaism. We're not talking about a guy who wasn't the most pious Jew in the world. We're talking about a guy who blatantly and purposely did not accept the basics of Judaism. So to say that what he decides is now, that's a minhag, that's a bit problematic. What Reuven was saying earlier, that's a real issue that has to be dealt with. The fact that today you have tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands that are pronouncing Hebrew that way, that's a big question, what we should really do with that.
The Israeli way.
The Israeli way. I mean, I'd say at least 50% of the state is talking Hebrew that way, and they're praying that way.
Temple.
What?
I wanted to speak that way in a Reform Hebrew school.
Okay, very nice. It's beautiful. At the end of the day, it's an asset to you. But the halachic way that we would give it now is a totally separate question. At the end of the day, bottom line for you guys, this is what you learned, this is the way you took, this is the way you should daven. Let other people break their heads about whether this is ideal or less than ideal. If everyone else is doing it, it's good enough for you too. Don't worry about it.
And it's actually harder for me to say it that way.
For sure. After I learned this, I started davening the Ashkenazi way. And I would stand in shul, and I'd be in the middle of Shmona Esrei, and everyone's already out the door. Forget Tachanon Aleinu. You know, I couldn't keep up with anything, and I've been davening for all my life. But to suddenly switch, and to get the Vayomer, and Vayomer, and the O, and the Suf, and the Tuf, and it's hard. Yeah, it's hard. Yeah. Yes, sir. On this point or something else?
On this point, because I choose this weirdest minhag, and the thing is, and I'm used to it. It's weird because I daven for almost 3 years in Yemenite Beit Knesset, and it's very close to an Ashkenazi. I found out,
mm-hmm.
And it's weird. It seems to me there's comparison between the Ashkenazis and the Yemenite. Some words they pronounce 100% the same, and other words a little bit. So it led one figure, if this is the right way to pronounce it, then actually.
Yeah.
Like with the S in Oy and this.
Yeah. It gives a lot of support. Not everyone is aware of the great similarities there are between Yemenite. Right?
What similarities are there?
He'll go through them with you.